Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
Look at all you beautiful girls. Wow. Welcome to Women Rock. Awesome. We welcome you and we're glad you're here. I personally love women's ministry. It's my favorite place in the whole world because I love being a woman and I love God's girls. And God blessed me with three daughters and one son. And so Jim and I brought a blended family together. My name's Debbie Cobray, for those of you that don't know me. And we founded this church 30 years ago and we've passed it on. So now I'm just a Nana and Nana the Great. I'm a great grandma now too. So I've done a little living. There's probably a whole lot ahead of me, but I love women and I love being with you. And I can remember for so many years, as a pastor and a pastor's wife, I'd always say, oh, I don't do women. I'm better with the men. And then God got a hold of me and said, what are you doing? He said, stop it. I've made you a woman and I want you to know how amazing you are and learn to love the other girls. And he transformed me. And he's transformed me in Proverbs 31, and it was a book I hated to read. It was like, who could ever be this woman? And then God said to me, you're reading it wrong. It's not who you're supposed to be, it's who you are. And I've made you that amazing, and there isn't anything you can't do. We're the other side of God. There's the man's side and there's the woman's side, and we're the woman's side. And we live in a culture where there's gender confusion, but there isn't any gender confusion with God. He made us perfectly and he made us to be who we are, male and female, and he made us to flourish in the roles that we're in. But if we don't know who we are and what we're capable of doing, and if no one has encouraged us in that way, how can we be it? And so women's ministry here, and Jess is my second daughter. Kim's my third daughter. Yeah, Miranda's my oldest. I was 18 when I had Miranda. And then Kim is my daughter in love. She was Jim's girl, and then we got married because we brought a blended family together. And then I had Jess, and then I had Luke with Jim. So we have a blended family, but they all belong to us. Amen? Anybody coming from families that are just hoo-hoo families? Yeah. But the point is that there's a journey in learning to love women, learning to love who you are as a woman, learning to embrace all of the goofy stuff that we do and all of the crazy things that we think and all of the wonderful, beautiful parts of us that are made on purpose by God for his purposes. That's what this is about. So your girls in the house, you're here, and we're in the book of Ephesians, and I'm so blessed that Jess is in this book, because if you read any of the commentaries on the book of Ephesians, they'll say Ephesians is the Alps of the New Testament. In other words, it takes you to great heights. It takes you to incredible scenery and incredible the beauty of who the church is. And Colossians, Pastor Dad, my pastor's in the book of Colossians on Sundays now, and that is an incredible book, and you're going to see the majestic, beautiful personhood of Jesus Christ and who he is. All things were made by him, all things were made for him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He is the firstborn of all, and he's preeminent in everything, and you'll get this amazing picture of the king. But then in Ephesians, you get this amazing picture of who the church is in the king. And so this is about us. This is about the church. And Paul opens up this book and he begins to tell you all of the incredible things that we are in Christ. And if you've got your notes and if you've got the book of Ephesians, let's just go there. I have to put my glasses back on. I'm learning how to wear glasses. Everybody's a little blurry and because they're bifocal, so you're all kind of going like this. But woohoo, that's okay. It's what happens when, you know, you get old, and everybody's going to get old if you don't die young. So we're going to learn how to do it well. Was that deep? Did you like that? Here we are, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Ephesus was the third largest city of the known world at that time. It'd be like writing to the church in New York or Paris, Shanghai, one of the major cities of the earth in the known world. Ephesus was, they estimate Ephesus was far over probably a population of 250,000, which is a lot for that world at that time. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see part of the Trinity. We're going to see God the Father, God the Son, and we're going to see the Holy Spirit in this chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So he says, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. The word blessing is a simple definition from my little mind is the power to succeed. When God says you're blessed, he gives you the power to be successful in anything you put your hand to in all of your life, because God wants us blessed. He wants us to have benefit and to be a blessing, to give others benefit and blessing. The power to succeed. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in spiritual places. Now, wait, God, that's spiritual, but I'm in the physical. But you see, when you're blessed in the spiritual, you will be blessed in the physical, because the Spirit made what we see in the natural. Corporeal. The word corporeal means material. It was made out of atoms and electrons and neutrons and all of these building blocks of this natural world that we can taste, smell, see, touch, and hear. We live in a material world, time, space, and substance. But the spirit realm is in the invisible world, and you can't see it. Just like you can't see microwaves, you can't see sound waves, you can't see things that are in existence in our world right now, but they're real, aren't they? Well, the material world is what we see, but the immaterial world, the invisible realm, according to the book of Hebrews, is what made the real world. So when I'm blessed with spiritual blessings, then I'm blessed in every arena of existence. So he says, blessed with all spiritual blessings, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame in him. So you've been chosen, you've been made holy, you're without blame. Goes on to say, he's predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So not only are you blessed, not only do you stand before him blameless, not only have you been made holy, but you've been chosen by God, handpicked by God, and now you're adopted. And Dr. Vanessa taught us what adoption is. And when you adopt somebody, you cannot unadopt them. That's more, and you don't get to it. You don't get to choose your kids. When you have them naturally, that's what you get. But you get to choose who you're going to adopt. You've been chosen by God to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now he's made us accepted. That word accepted is harito. It's only used twice in the New Testament. It's when Gabriel said to Mary, hail, thou highly favored of God, harito. Hail, thou favored of the Lord, thou blessed of the Lord. You are the one and only woman in all creation that God has handpicked to bring forth the Messiah. And yet he uses that same word in Ephesians over the church, that you are highly favored by God. You've been handpicked by God. You've been adopted by God. You've given every spiritual blessing in spiritual places so that you will learn how to access the spirit realm and bring it from the spirit realm into the natural realm. Because you're going to look like Jesus and you're going to act like Jesus. He says, now you are highly favored of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now he's saying all this happens because something's happened to you. You've been redeemed. Redeemed is a word we don't use. When I was little, my mom had green stamps. I'm a boomer. I was born in 1950. My mom had green stamps. She went and she got green stamps every time she paid for groceries. And she had this little book and she'd paste them in the book. And these green stamps, she'd get to turn it in and redeem it. And she'd get a piece of silverware or a pot or something that she needed in the house. Yeah, that sounds funny now, but it was redemption. She would put the stamp down and the stamp would give her and buy her something. So redeem means to buy back. You've been redeemed. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Grace is going to be a common theme throughout the book of Ephesians, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Grace, God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. Grace, not something I can earn, not something I can buy. Grace is something that is given. It is a gift of God. It is the sovereign power of God on my behalf. In my weakest places, his grace is strongest, but grace is received by faith. So grace comes at me all the time. The sun is shining all the time. Even at night, the sun is shining. It's like grace. Grace is abounding towards you. It's running towards you. Its rays are hitting you all of the time. There's grace for every situation. There's grace for every need. There's grace for every sorrow. There's grace for every temptation. It's coming at you like sunshine, but it's going to have to be faith that reaches up and receives that grace so that we can access it and make it manifest in our lives. Then he goes on to say something, and this is where we're landing today. He says, which he made to abound in verse 9, having made known to us. Now he's getting into something phenomenal. He's told us what we are, who we are, and why we are because of redemption, the blood of Jesus. And now he's saying, I'm going to show you something. It's a mystery. You see, the Old Testament, Augustine said this, the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament, but the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. So the new is concealed in the old, and the old is revealed in the new. The Old Testament explains the New Testament. The New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament. When the prophets of old, over 360 prophecies of Jesus Christ and his coming, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his second coming, all of these prophecies have come and been written. 353 have come to pass. That's a statistically impossible. There's not a number that you and I could even imagine or even be thought of in a computer that would give you the statistics on that. And Jesus said, and God said, I'm going to show you a mystery now in this book. I'm going to lay it out for you. That, verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. What? Why is he so excited about that verse? Well, let's read it again. That in the dispensation, that means time period, dispensation time period, of the fullness of the times. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says, in the fullness of times. See, we live in time, God lives in eternity. God's on a timetable with us. He's in eternity. In the fullness of times, when the times of earth were right, God brought forth his son, born of a virgin, born under the law, to fulfill the law that he might redeem those that were under the law, in the fullness of times. And now it says, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things, not some things. Does your Bible say all things? All things. All things. And he's going to gather them together, everything, where? In Christ. Which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. Now there's a corresponding scripture out of the mouth of two or three, let every truth be established. Colossians chapter 1:17 is a companion scripture. And it says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, speaking of Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ. And by him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. So not only did he come to buy us back, reconcile, R-E-C-O-N-C-I-L, he came to bring us back. And we're going to see today that he has and is restoring, giving us back all things through his cross and through his blood. The kingdom of God is reconciling all things back to the Father. You cannot reconcile something that isn't split away. You can't bring something back that is still there. Are you with me? You can't buy something back that isn't enslaved, that someone else doesn't own. Are you with me? And you can't restore back. To restore means to make new again, to give back. You can't be restored if you have never, ever had something taken. Is that not true? Yes. But you see, if we don't know this, then we live in this veil and this fog of deception in the human race. We live in a world that touches, tastes, sees, hears, and smells, that lives in a world of now of knowledge and science and technology. And we live in a world that says there's many gods and there's many ways to heaven, and who knows what's real and what isn't. But you see, there's only one God, creator of heaven and earth. There's one Son. His name is Jesus Christ, the only begotten, that which has never been, never will be again. From God's side, he spun forth his Son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John wrote, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. All things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. God spoke, and the world was. God the Father conceived it. God the Son, the Word made flesh, commanded it. God the Spirit hovered over creation, and he created it. God commanded, the Son, God conceived, the Son commanded, and the Spirit created. The Trinity. One God, one Spirit, one Lord, Christ Jesus. There's only one way to the Father. It's through his Son, Jesus Christ. We didn't know how lost we were. And this is what I want to look at today, is the kingdom of God, because Jesus came preaching and teaching the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The two are used interchangeably. One is not different from another. Whether you call it the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, God said, I'm reconciling all things back. In other words, there's been a breach. There has been a war. There has been a rebellion, and I've allowed it because I'm proving something. I'm revealing something. I'm showing something. I'm going to bring forth a mystery that's been hidden. Jesus said, the prophets long to see what you see. Peter writes and says that people, the angels are here right now, and they listen and they yearn because they don't understand this redemption thing. Why would God, the creator of heaven and earth, step out of eternity? Why would he step into the womb of a virgin? Why would he buy back mankind when they have rejected him, and he did it through identification? He became man. He identified with us so that we could identify with God. How in the world did he bring us back to the Father? How was he going to do that? He did it through substitution. I know this is a theology class right now. Listen, there's 8 weeks of this. There's 16 weeks of this in the Bible college. There's 8 weeks of Christology. And there's 8 weeks of blood covenant. This is all going to happen in 30 minutes. So this is a review. This is a big picture. Are you with me? He became the lamb that sacrificed with his blood so that I could be reconciled. I could be brought back to the Father because sin kept me from God. He became the restorer, giving us back. How does he restore things back to us? Through transformation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He gave us a new nature. We had an old dead nature. We had a sin nature. Sin is lawlessness. The definition of sin is the rebellion, the breaking of God's law through transgression or neglect. Lawlessness. God had a law. Adam broke it. You eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll die. Satan came and said, you're not going to die. You're just going to be wise like God. So Adam ate of that, Eve ate of that, and they didn't die because the definition of death is not a ceasing to exist. It is separation. When you die, you separate. When I die from this body, my spirit and my soul separate from this flesh temple. This temple goes back to the ground. It goes back to dust. You see, there's a first death and there's a second death. The last death, the second death, you'll find in Revelation in chapter 20. The last death is when you separate from God, the great white throne judgment. When if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you're cast into the lake of fire with Satan and his angels, and you are separated from God for all eternity. That's the last death. That's the final separation. And you're here today so that that doesn't happen. Because God didn't make us for hell. He made us for heaven in his image. That's why he came back and he became the Lamb to redeem us. He became the sacrifice so that he could bring us back to him. And he is now restoring all things to himself. And that's what this scripture means, that in the fullness of times, the mystery, can I have it back up on verse 10? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things to Christ, things which are in heaven and things which are on the earth. So today, having done this introduction, you with me? Are you all right? Didn't come for a theology class, did you? But you know what? It's the word that changes us. Jesus said, my word is spirit and it's life. That's why Romans 12:1 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be changed forever. How? By the renewing of your mind. When the word of God, which is life and health to my bones, when that word gets from my head and it begins to get into my spirit, all of a sudden faith comes. Now I can begin to see what I could never see. I can hear what I could never hear. Now I begin to step into the supernatural kingdom of God, and I can release my faith and that which is in the invisible spiritual realm. Those blessings that have been given to me, now they come from the invisible, and my faith brings them. Grace is always here, and it brings them into the natural world, and things change in my life. I change in my life. Sometimes the biggest thing that needs to change isn't my circumstances, it's me. And when I change, everything changes. Everything changes. Jesus came to give us a new nature. As God needed Adam to have a companion and a bride, and he brought Eve out of the sight of man. The king needed a bride, someone that would rule and reign with him for all eternity. But she, like Eve, had to have the nature of the last Adam. Eve had to look like Adam, had to come from Adam. Well, the church of the living God, if the church is going to be the bride of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the body of God himself, then we're going to have the very nature of God. We're going to have to think like God, look like God, act like God, have the nature of God. A dog is a dog, is a dog is a dog. A dog has a dog's nature. You can only inherit nature. Nature is inherited. I inherited a sin nature, a blood disease. But the Lord came to buy me back through identification. He came to bring me back through substitution. And he came to restore me back to what was lost through transformation. And that's what this kingdom is all about. Because you see, there's a kingdom that you can't see, touch, taste, hear, or smell. The kingdom of God. It's all around us. Jesus says it's in you and it's around you. It doesn't come like you think it's going to come, but it's more real than anything that you can touch, taste, hear, smell, or feel. Why? Because it's God's kingdom, and there's a king in this kingdom, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the king has come to bring me a new nature. He's come to transform me. He's come to restore me. He's come to bring me back to the Father so that I can fall in love with the Father. You see, no man could see God's face and live. No, none of us could wrap our little finite little brains around this infinite God that life emanates from, that God speaks and it is, that God made everything, that God has made the universe and that which we cannot see. What is more real? He's made the myriads of angels, the cherubim and the seraph, the fiery ones that stand before the throne of God and burn and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. If we were to see one of those beings, we would wet our pants and we would fall in fear. But you see, that king has come for you. That king has come to woo you, to bring you into an engagement, because there's an engagement ring called the Holy Spirit. The guarantee of all these promises. That king has come to transform you, to clothe you in royal robes. That king has come to love you. And to prove his love, he says, you couldn't even understand what I feel about you. So I'm going to walk this human existence. I'm going to show you what a real human being is supposed to look like, because I'm the last Adam. I am going to show you the Father, because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the express image of his person. I'm the brightness of his glory. I am the second person of the Godhead. And if you can see me in human form, then you're going to understand and love and know him
And like he loves you, you're going to be able to love him back. And then I'm going to give you this incredible gift. I am going to indwell you. I'm going to fill you with me. I am going to give you a teacher and an attorney. I'm going to give you a mother. I'm going to give you a father. I'm going to give you a best friend. I'm going to give you the wisest counselor of the universe. I'm going to give you the one that raised me from the dead, who created that which the Father conceived and that which I commanded as the Word, the Creator, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you to him, and he's going to come in to your spirit, and he's going to indwell you, and he's going to walk this life with you every step of the way. And he is never going to leave you or forsake you. You will never be alone. You'll never be without. You are so secure in my hand that no one will be able to take you out of my hand. But this is all going to happen because my grace has given it to you. But you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to believe. I have to receive what he's given me. And for me, what changed my life is I've had the privilege to study the Word of God for probably 37 years is when God began to let the penny drop in my life. And he taught me of the two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. There are two kingdoms in operation right now in the invisible world. That's why the new is concealed in the old, and the old is revealed in the new. Jesus taught more about Satan and demons than anything in the Old Testament. He taught us that we were going to have new natures, that we were going to have his name, his power, his spirit, that we were going to be fighting an enemy that we can't see because it's not flesh and blood. But it's principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in heavenly places. There's a hierarchy. There's a kingdom. It's in rebellion. It's been in rebellion. And that's why God is reconciling all things back to himself through his Son, because he's proving that this kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, he calls him the prince of the power of the air. We're not giving glory to him, but I don't think the church teaches enough about our enemy. In warfare, you learn who your enemy is. You study your enemy. You don't become your enemy, but you better figure out how he's going to fight you so that you can overcome him and overwhelm him. And if we're going to be foolish and we're going to put our heads in the sand, then we're going to have battles that we're going to lose. But God didn't call me to lose. He called me to overcome and win. But I better learn some things about the kingdom. And I had to learn that there was laws, that there was a law of the kingdom of God, the royal law. The royal law is, can anybody guess? God is love, agape. Agape is the Greek for the God kind of love, God's love, not human love, but God's love. Love says, your needs at my expense. Personal self-sacrifice. God so loved, so agape'd the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Satan's kingdom has a law. It's not hate, it's the flesh, and it's called lust. Lust says, my needs at your expense. Love says, your needs at my expense. Personal self-sacrifice. Satan has, so this is the royal law of God. Let's just see it in the Word of God. It's actually found in James 2:8. I don't think it's on the overheads, but let me read it. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. The royal law is love. God is love. God's put his love in our hearts. Let me just read that to you. It might be on your notes. God is love, 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I'm on page, I don't know if your note, do you have your notes? God demonstrates his love to us. We didn't know what it was. We couldn't figure it out. We have phileo, we have eros, erotic love. We have phileo, brotherly love. We have human love, but who's ever seen this love that he's talking about? This agape, this God kind of love. But God demonstrates, he shows us his own love towards us, and that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I was an enemy of God, he climbed a cross and he put his life down for me, knowing that I would hate him, that I would disbelieve him, that I would sin against him, that I would spit at him, that I would reject him. He still died for me. Who does that? A man may die for a just cause or another good man, but who dies for his enemies? That's just the beginning of scratching the surface of God's love. God's love. God's love is not a feeling, it's a choice. It's a noun, it's a person. I choose to love, not because I feel like loving, but because I choose. When someone slaps me on the face, I don't want to turn my face and let them slap me again. My flesh wants to bust a one, swear back at him. Somebody writes something to me on Facebook I don't like, I want to put it right back to him. You see, that's the human in me, the fallen in me. But Jesus came to show me a kingdom that I've been translated into. A kingdom that I have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God. And he said, if you don't understand the kingdom, if you don't understand the laws and the rules, and you don't understand the economic system of my kingdom, because every kingdom has systems. America has an economy. It's called capitalism. It's how we move goods and services. America has a rule of law. It's our constitution. America has a military and a force and a power behind it that backs what our laws say. Are you with me? Well, do you think God's kingdom is any different? He has a rule of law. He has an economic system. He has a force of power. He has wealth and treasury. And those are all locked up in the kingdom of God. And Jesus came preaching and teaching of the kingdom. He said the kingdom of God is like parables. He talked about the heart. He said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand anything about the kingdom. This is, I'm going to unlock the mystery of it. You see, we can't see it, but it's real. So if you, as a believer, who now have him inside of you, are now citizens of the kingdom, but you don't understand the kingdom, tell me how you're going to have victory. How are you going to know what to do, how to fight, how to believe, and how to behave if you don't understand the king? First, fall in love with him, because this is a love issue. It's not a works issue. It's a love. It's a bride. It's a bride's issue. She loves the groom. She's going to follow him because she loves him. She's going to take things in her life that she didn't want because she loves the husband. She loves the groom, and the groom loves her and takes care of her, gives her his name, gives her everything. I bequeath all my possessions to you. I take your name on. You see, this is a covenant, a blood covenant of marriage between God the Son and the church. He's not separated. He's the head, we're the body. He's the husband, we're the bride. You see, this kingdom, we married the king. He has a kingdom, but I got to understand how to rule and reign and operate in it, because my husband is seated at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to rule and reign with him in eternity. So our side, I better get some lessons on how to have the nature I'm supposed to have, how to have the faith I'm supposed to release, and how to behave the way he wants me to behave. So I bring glory to the family name and I don't embarrass it. Are you with me, girls? This is a kingdom issue. This is a faith issue. Because when you begin to learn this stuff and you got out of here and your husband wants a divorce, or your kids are so sick you don't think they're going to live, or all of a sudden you get fired from your job, or your friends have just left you and things are horrible and you're lonely and depressed, or alcohol's taken over, or drugs are taken over, or food is taken over, or life is taken over. You see, then you can step back and you can say, oh no, I'm not in this kingdom. I'm in the kingdom of God. And I understand that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I know how to operate in this. You know what happens to you? You begin to grow up. I can tell you that because I came from nothing. I was probably the worst sinner in this house. I live with more people than I can remember. My husband was married 3 times before he was 25. We didn't know anything. But to whom much is forgiven, there is much love. I didn't get to go to Bible school. I didn't go to college. I think I have an AA degree. That's it. I'm not very smart. I'm not very accomplished. I'm not one of these brain childs or beautiful or any of that. I had none of that going for me. But you see, when I stepped into the kingdom, when the King redeemed me, when he reconciled me to the Father, and when he began restoring my life, all that you see is church, all the blessings that we have, our families intact, all the sin that we've lived through that's been washed, all of it is because of one thing. The King loved me, and I fell in love with the King, and I decided to follow him and learn of his kingdom. That's it. That's it. So he came because there was a battle. We know the story. Genesis is not a novel. It is a true happening of events. And you find that there was evil. Evil originated not on earth, but evil originated in heaven. What is evil? Evil is the perversion of that which is good. Well, what is good? Well, Jesus taught us what good was. He said, good is God. Good is God. There is none good but God. Therefore, if that's true, now, goodness has a definition, brings benefit and blessing, but what is good? What is the noun good? Well, good is God. God is? Good is? God is? We say that, but what does that mean? What does that mean? Is it just a catchphrase in the church? Or could it mean that good is God? Therefore, if God is good, then good is God's will, God's way. God's will, God's way. Not God's will, man's way, because we saw that with Cain and Abel when he told them how to bring the sacrifice. We know that God spoke to them and told them how to bring the sacrifice because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're taught that Abel by faith brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That means he had to hear something. He had to hear what God said. God said, bring this blood sacrifice. So Abel brings it God's way. God's will, bring sacrifice. God's way, bring the lamb. I need blood because the life of the flesh is in the blood. There's sin separating us. Something has to die. Something has to substitute for your separation. Therefore, an innocent animal is going to have to be killed, and that blood, which is the evidence of death, is going to have to cover your sin, and that's going to keep you near me until I can finally come myself, and I'm going to be the lamb, and my blood, the blood of God, is going to go into the depths of hell, take the keys of death and hell, rescue you out, send you to heaven, and I'm going to put my blood on the mercy seat and satisfy for all time all condemnation against you, all sin against you, everything that's ever happened. Are you all right with me? So, what is evil? Not God's will, not God's way, right? How about man's will, man's way? Now we see this with Lucifer, who was the anointed cherub that covered. And in two passages of scripture, Ezekiel and Daniel, and they're on your scriptures. It says in Ezekiel 28, look at your notes. You were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Lucifer, who's now going to become Satan. I'm talking about the rebellion, why there's a reconciliation, why God's gathering everything back to himself. He's using it through Jesus and the cross. Jesus is a man, all God and all man. So therefore, he's the head, I'm the body. He's using my life to reconcile all things. Does that even, it's like, really, God, I'm that important? Yeah, you are. That's why he works so hard at telling you you're nothing. You don't count for anything. You can't do anything. You mean nothing, but you see your life speaks to the invisible realm. Your life shouts of the love of God. Your life shouts faith. Your life shouts everything that God is proving, that God's love is a greater force than evil, rebellion and hatred and lust, malevolence, all of these things that Satan didn't believe, and he wanted to be like God apart from God. But let's go on. I'm getting ahead of myself. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence from within, and you sinned Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. The mountain of God is heaven. I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I made you what you were. I gave you a position. You were moving goods and services through the kingdom of heaven. You were administrating. You were covering the throne. And you looked at yourself and you corrupted your wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs says. You corrupted your wisdom, covering cherub. Lucifer, son of the morning, now you are Satan, for the beauty of your splendor. You wonder why this world worships beauty and youth? Come on. So God says, I'm going to prove to you that I'm going to make temples of dust, clay. And out of these temples of clay, I'm going to raise up a church. I'm going to raise up a bride. I'm going to raise up a people who will prove to you that love is stronger than lust. Prove to you that faith is greater than fear. Will prove to you that meekness, power under the control of love, is a greater power than force and malevolence and evil and hatred and war. I'm going to prove to you through this people that I am going to buy with my own blood, that I'm going to marry and are going to rule with me for all eternity and throw you into the very pits of hell, Satan. I'm going to prove that my love is stronger than anything. Anything. See, when you begin to get a glimpse of this, then on those bad days, you begin to say, oh no. No, I was made for something far greater than this. This isn't who I really am. I'm having an earth experience in time, but I'm eternal. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And you begin to understand. And when you see him, you begin to fall in love with him. My Lord the King, I would do anything for him. I'll bow before him. I'll hear what he has to say. Oh God, with your help, because I don't trust myself, I'll obey when it's hard. When my flesh wants everything else, but you were asking me to give this up for you. I can't do it on my own strength, but oh God, with the power of the Spirit in me, I will take one day at a time with you until it changes. And if I fall, I know that your blood cleanses me. And you never throw me away, but you bring me back and say, come on, let's do it again. There's another day. There's another hour. There's another moment that we can start this all over again. I love you, and I'm not gonna throw you away. I love you. I bought you. I reconciled you. I'm restoring you. Don't you dare leave me now. You're worth more than this. And you see, and he just brings you back. And he brings you back. And you begin to step up. And you begin to believe. And you begin to release faith. And all of a sudden, things change. The kingdom. I'm so out of time. Guys, love never fails. The love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Your new nature is agape. I remember once when I was fighting with Jim, walking down the stairs, ready to have a big fight. The Holy Spirit said to me, your problem is that you are not under authority. I said, you mean to my husband? I don't disagree. I don't agree with him. He said, no, you're not under authority to the King. I said, what do you mean? He said, he's love. I said, yes. Well, you're not under authority to what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. See, you're not bowing your heart to patience and letting patience come up in you and give you power. You're not bowing to kindness. You're letting flesh bring back the old system that doesn't get anything done in the spirit realm. You've got to submit to these things, child, because they're not things. They're a person. They're your Savior. They're your King. They're your Lord. Women of God, I didn't even scratch the surface of this beautiful kingdom. Haven't even scratched the surface. There's a law. The law is love. There's an economic system. It's called faith. Satan fell. He was thrown out of heaven. Jesus Christ, when he brought his blood to the mercy seat, he didn't bring it to the mercy seat in the temple in Jerusalem. He ascended on high, and he led captivity captive. He brought his blood to the mercy seat of heaven, because that's where original sin started. Heaven. He cleansed the temple. And in the new kingdom, in the new earth and the new heaven, there is no temple. God washes it all away. There's a new heaven and there's a new earth, and the Lamb and the Father are its light, and we are the temple, earth side, right now. He lives in me. I didn't even get to the I will. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. Isaiah chapter 14, read it in your notes. I will ascend into the stars of the heavens. I will take God's throne. I will prove that evil and hatred and lust is stronger than love. God says, no, that's not going to happen. I'm going to allow it, because I'm going to raise up a bride. She's going to be schooled in having dominion and ruling in love on this earth. She's going to learn how to be like her future bridegroom. She's going to look like him. She's going to act like him. And she's going to operate like him on the earth. And she's going to preach this gospel to every creature. And I'm going to gather in as many as I can. And then the end will come. Guys, you're here for a reason. You're here to display the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and the powers. Last page, and I'm going to end with this because I'm out of time. The God plan is for you and I to have new natures, which we do, to learn the kingdom because we're in it, to love the King because that's how it operates. Faith operates by love. It's not by works. It's by love. We're here to overcome and overrule fear, because Satan's kingdom is, the economic system is fear. I'm afraid of everything. Fear drives me, but God's kingdom rule is faith. Satan's economic system is lust, but God's is love. Satan's is force. I'm going to make you do this. God's is meekness, power under the control of love. A meek and a quiet spirit is of great value to God. The Lamb swallowed up the dragon on that cross. He didn't utter a word. He climbed on that cross. He said, no one takes my life. I lay it down and I pick it up. He was revealing to me the power of meekness, power under the control of agape love. That I know who I am, therefore I am. I know who I am, therefore I don't have to try to be. I don't have to try to defend. I don't have to try to make something happen, because I already am, and I know who I am. And you see, I am not, but I know whose I am. I am not, but I know whose I am. And he's in me and I'm in him. Therefore, I don't have to try to have a reputation to maintain or create. I don't have to try to be something I'm not. I don't have to try to be young when I'm old. I don't have to be try to be cool when I know I'm so not cool. I don't have to try to get you to like me, because whether you like me or not, I'm loved by my husband, by my King, and he loves me. Now, I wish you'd love me because I love you, but if you don't, I'm okay with that, because you're not done yet, neither am I. Nothing's finished yet. Nothing's done until you close your eyes and you separate from this body. Then it's over. But until then, you have faith to believe God to change the situation, to bring your children home from the land of the enemy, to have the things that you desire if they're the will of God, to see healing come in your life, to see prosperity come to your soul, to see your kids have a roof over their head, cars that work, shoes that are right, to be blessed by God, to succeed in what God's called you to succeed in your lives. See, that's all wrapped up in the King and the kingdom. So God's called us to do four things. He's called us to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. He's called us to preach the gospel to every creature, every one of us. St. Francis of Assisi says, preach the gospel at all costs, everywhere and at all times. And if necessary, open your mouth. It's my life that speaks louder than any of my words. And that's what you're going to learn in Ephesians, who you are and then your position. And then he's going to teach you how you're supposed to practice it. Because with every privilege, there is a corresponding practice of living it out. He asked me to believe in him and the works that he does. Why? Because he wants to work through me and do these works in the marketplace where everyone lives. And he asked me, last one, Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Because God is good. God's will, God's way. You'll overcome all evil that comes against you, not in your flesh, but in goodness. That's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies. It's the kingdom. It's the power you can't see. We fight it. We try to get as close to the goal. We try to drive as close to the edge of the cliff as we can. And God is saying, why are you doing that? When I've already given you everything. Don't get over in the danger zone. Just live with me. Watch and see what an adventure this life is going to be. The kingdom of God. He's reconciling all things. Did you get something out of today? Pastor Jess, I'm going to turn this back to you or altar call. Okay. You know, this church gives an altar call at every service. And that all started because at the beginning of this church, Jim didn't give altar calls and God asked me to pray him in. He said, with joy shall you drink from the wells of salvation. He gave me a story in the Word of God and showed me how to pray. And I prayed. He gave Jim the altar call. And that started this church on the first pillar that built this house, which was a passion for souls. Because how can I love him if I don't love you? And I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to make you feel weird. But I'm here to tell you the King is real. And his kingdom is more real than you know. Come on, you always thought you were adopted anyway. You couldn't be from the family you came from. But he brought you here today because, you see, I can't be adopted in if I don't first receive what's been given to me. He's already died for me. He's already shed his blood for me. He's already done what he's got to do, and it's sufficient, it's over. But now I have to believe it, and I have to receive it. I have to say, yes, I believe, and I see that you are God, that you died for me, that you became man, and that I couldn't save myself, but you came to save me. Oh my gosh, you did that for me. So now what? Well, how do I receive this, Lord? Do I say this magic prayer? Do I go to church? Do I hang around Christians? How do I start this journey with you? And you see, it's so simple because all you have to do is receive it. You have to believe it. To say, Lord, I may not understand all of it. I don't understand any of it. She was loud and she's old and she's yelling at me today, but I didn't leave. But something in my heart got touched. I know she's telling the truth. What do I do? Well, Jesus just said, if you surrender your life to me and let me be Savior, because you need a Savior, and Lord, Lord means boss, then I'll come and I'll live with you and I'll adopt you and I'll make you mine. So that's why we pray a prayer with you, because it's from the heart. You hear with your ears, you believe with your heart, and then you surrender your life to him. For me, I was scared because I was so bad. I mean, I moved drugs from Germany to the United States and my daughter's dolls. That's how bad I was. I can tell you that now because there's no stain of shame because it's been washed away. It's like another person in another life. To whom much is forgiven, there's much love. I didn't know what to do. I just knew he was real. So I just said, oh, please, will you be my Savior? Will you come and take my life? And I just gave my life to him and everything changed. That's all I'm asking you to do today, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Because I want to give you an intimate moment with him, not with you thinking about what other people are thinking about or thinking of you. But what about you and God? If you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd go? There's only two places, heaven or hell. There's only one way to God's heaven. It's through his Son. Do you know where you'd go? If you think, I think I know where I'd go, but you're not sure, then I need to talk to you. If you think, I hope I'm going to heaven because I'm good. God never said goodness is going to get me there. God said there's only one way. It's through my Son. Maybe you've been good and you've tried, but you've never given your life to him. I'm talking to you. So if you need to get right with God today, you need to ask him into your heart to be your Savior and your Lord, or you need to come back to him. I'm just going to count to three, and all over with every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand up and I'll acknowledge it, and then we're going to pray. So are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Let me see your hands. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. So keep them up high. Let me count them. 1, 2, Three? There's only three? I thought there was four. There's four? Anybody else need to get right with God? Five? Anybody else need to get right with God? It's so simple. And I'm just going to lead you. I can't save you. He saves you. I'm just going to pray with you. All right, so let's do this. Do we have tables today, Jess? Okay, so at the tables, you can tell somebody that you've prayed the prayer, but let's pray it now. Is that okay? So with eyes bowed, heads closed, let's just say, I want you to pray with me. And if you're saved, pray this with me too. Just say, Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died, that you were raised from the dead, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father, and that you love me. Come into my life. Take my life. I surrender. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Now, Father, I can now come to you in his name and thank you for making me the woman you want me to be for the rest of my days on earth. I can now say out loud and on purpose that Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the family.
So good, so good.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.